The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing towards others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All families on earth will be blessed through you.
So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited with Canaanites.
Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord, who had appeared to him. After that, Abraham traveled south and set up camp in the hill country, with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord.
Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.
But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.
Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith.
The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would.
And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God has commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born.
And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in my old age.
Amen. Before you guys sit down, any quick thoughts? What struck you about these readings? I remember during the week, when you were reading, we said that if you have a little thought about what you were reading, any guys want to say something? So, yeah?
It's kind of like an example of how you should trust in God, because even though it kind of took a long time for Abraham to have a baby, it still happened. So you just need to be patient and just trust God's plans.
Anyone else?
It kind of reminds me of the parable where the guy's knocking on the door and he keeps on knocking because Abraham believed that God would give him the son. He kept on asking and asking, and he believed eventually that it would happen, and it did. So yeah.
I think that it just shows that if you have faith in God, then anything can happen. So.
Well, I guess this shows how powerful God can be. Sarah was really old, and so was Abraham. So for God to keep his promise, I feel like that just shows how powerful God is.
I think it shows, like, even though Abraham had doubts, he doubted God's promise and thing, but he still had faith in him at the end, and he believed in him.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, teenagers, for preaching my message. Just listen out to those amazing points that they made, because that's what it was. So I just want to, for the sake of the children, all of us, to just tell this story in pictures, really. The amazing story of Abraham and Isaac. Let's just pray, shall we? Just close our eyes. Father, we just want to open our ears to you this morning, Lord, and hear what the Spirit is saying to our hearts, Lord. Father, we are all unbelieving to some degree or other, Lord. Father, would you help us through this story, Father, to move forward in our faith? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, these two lovely people, who are they? Abraham and Sarah. That's right. I wonder if any of you know what the name Abram or Abraham means. But let's start with Abram. That was the name he was called first. Then God called him Abraham. What does Abram mean? Father. It means exalted father. I was thinking about it this morning. It would be a bit like Bob being called Dad or Super Dad. Exalted father. But just imagine if you'd been given that name, there would be an expectation that you would at least have children. And Sarah's name means princess. So those two, when they came together, they must have thought, wow, they're going to have amazing children. And yet, it didn't happen that easily. So there was Abraham, the exalted father, and Sarah, the princess. And do you know the Bible, the first thing it says about Sarah is this: but Sarah was unable to become pregnant and had no children. It's hard to imagine what that must have been like. Can you imagine Abraham, the daddy, the super dad, gets married to the princess? And they must have been thinking, you know, 9 months, a year, okay, some children are going to come along. And nothing comes. So they hold out, they keep going. And after a few years go by, Sarah begins to wonder if she's ever going to have children. And then she gets given a label of being barren. That's the word that the King James Version uses. A lot of the versions in the Bible use barren. It just means not able to become pregnant. And in that society, there was such an expectation that women would become mothers and have children, and there would be grandchildren. And by the time the years went by and these guys got a bit older, and so here we have Abraham, 75 years old. That's a long time. She's 10 years younger. How is she feeling by then? She must feel disappointed. She probably feels guilty even because of the expectation that was there. But she has resigned herself that she's never going to have children. Maybe. And so the story goes on. And it says here, now the Lord said to Abraham, and we've had the story, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Remember, he's 75 years old with his 65-year-old wife. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So he's saying to this guy, age 75, with a wife who cannot have children, I'm going to bless the whole world through you and through your children. There was somebody that was going to come through that line hundreds, couple of thousand plus years later. Who was that? Jesus. You see, through Abraham eventually was going to come Jesus. And we are here today because eventually Sarah had a baby. Amazing. And through that, all of us have been blessed and are blessed today. 11 years later, so he gets this promise. He must have gone back to Sarah and said, whoa, do you know what God said? That through us or through me, all the families of the world are going to be blessed. And so she's thinking, how on earth is that going to happen? And so here we have him, 86, Sarah, 76 years old. The Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision. So he comes another time. And he said to him, don't be scared, Abraham. I'm going to protect you and your reward will be great. But Abraham, he wasn't really bothered about protection. He wasn't really bothered about his reward. He was just bothered about the child. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings if I don't even have a son? And can you imagine how this thought dominated their lives by now? So God said, you're going to have a son who of your own, and he will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and he said to him, look up into the sky And can we just go with Abraham that night out of the tent where God's spoken to him? And I've seen this. I remember when I stood by the Dead Sea as a teenager, about 19 years of age. And for the first time, I saw the stars in the Middle East. And it was an incredible sight. There seemed to be 10 times more stars than I'd ever seen before. And these were the ones, the same stars that Abraham was looking at those years ago. He said, look up, and if you can count them, that's as many as your descendants are going to be. And this amazing verse, and Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And that's where he became right with God, because he believed what God was saying to him. But Sarah, and this is what God said of Sarah. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me, and he had, from having children. So go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And isn't this what we do? You know, God's promised us something, but we think, okay, this is taking a long time, so we're going to find our own solution. People have done it in finding marriage partners. People have found it in finding their career or the purpose for their lives. They've not waited for God. They've gone ahead in their own strength. The Bible says, you did not wait for my counsel. It's so worth waiting for God's plan. But sometime, as somebody pointed out, we have to wait a long time before God comes good. 13 years later, okay? She's now, Abraham's 99. How old does that make Sarah? 89 years old, okay? So they've had, so he slept with Hagar. Ishmael was born. Ishmael is now 13 years old. Tell me if I get my numbers wrong here, Bob. Ishmael is now 13 years of age. And Abraham thinks he's got this solution. He loved Ishmael. He thought that it was all going to happen through this boy. But God didn't plan to do it that way. And so in Genesis 17, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. And I'm going to make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. And so I'm not going to show you the story, but he got Abraham to cut up a whole lot of animals. He cut them in half. He put them in separate, in two separate kind of lines, and he walked between them to make a covenant with God. And then when it all became very dark, there was a flaming torch of fire that went the same way that he did between those animals. And God said, I'm making a covenant with you, Abraham. The most powerful thing that you could do, this incredible agreement, to guarantee that I will give you countless descendants. Regarding Sarai, back to Sarah, 89 years old, your wife. Her name will no longer be called Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah. And that little at the end, that little A-H, means it's associated with Yahweh when you see that on a name. And I'm going to bless her and give you a son from her. 89 years old. My brother's partner, they had a little girl and she was 49 and it was a perfect pregnancy. And everybody thought, hallelujah, you did well. 49, this is 89. Now, even today, when there's a lot of medical stuff that you can do and people are having babies very, very old, not 89 yet, not 89, without any kind of medical assistance, I'm going to give you a son from her. Then Abraham, he bowed to the ground. But he laughed to himself. How often do we do that? Maybe we come to church and we're singing the song, but actually inside, is it really true? Is it really true? How could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. Look, It's too hard to believe. Can't you just do this with Ishmael? Couldn't he be the one? And God said, no, it's going to be another child, because I want this to be impossible for you. When things are impossible for us and only possible with God, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And so in the things that we go through, the trials we experience, sometimes God is waiting until it's impossible for us. And then we lift up our hands and say, I can't do this, God. And he says, no, it's my time. I can do it. You can't, but I can. And that's the gospel, isn't it? We are saved. God gives us the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to just say, I can't do this, but you can. Live your life through me. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under the blessing. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you, and you will name him Isaac. And then another thing happens. These three guys come along, and one of them is Jesus. Or it would seem that it's Jesus, because one of them, he calls him Lord. And so these three guys come along, and they, Sarah and Abraham, invite them into their tent, give them some food, and there at the back is Sarah. Now, there's one thing in these pictures that I don't like about Sarah. She's not pretty enough. Do you know, at 89, and at 99... Sorry, at 89, Abraham was still having to protect his wife from other men because she was so astonishingly beautiful. And she had aged so magnificently that Abraham thought, people will attack me to take my wife. Incredible, really. And so, you know, we see her as this old person, but I don't think she looked that old. And so they talked to these angels. They talked to these angels, and Jesus probably talked to him. And then at the end of the conversation, they say, where is Sarah, your wife? The visitor said, she's inside the tent. Sorry, he said, she's inside the tent. Then one of them said, I'll return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. So Sarah was listening, okay, to this conversation from the tent. And Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. And Sarah was long past the age of bearing children. So she laughed silently to herself. And she said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure? Especially when my master, my husband, is also so old. He's 99. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? It's almost like the Lord didn't understand this way of thinking. Don't they know who I am? And these incredible words, maybe you can say them after me, is anything too hard for the Lord? Shall we say that together? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? Obviously not. I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Okay. Let's see if I can just... Whoa, there she is, laughing inside the tent. Sarah was afraid. So she denied it, and she said, I didn't laugh. She lied. She was embarrassed about what she thought. But the Lord said to her, no, you did laugh. You see, God wants us to acknowledge our unbelief. If today we're laughing at God's promises and there's something inside us that doesn't believe, he just wants to say, actually, I have unbelief. So Abraham was 100 years old and the Lord kept his word. Isn't that beautiful? For Sarah, exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant. She gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. And this happened at just the time that God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. Okay, Isaac. What does that word Isaac mean? Anybody know what Isaac means? I'll give you a clue. Burden? Laughter. Laughter. So there's all sorts of laughter in this story. There's the laughter of unbelief. Do you really mean that? And then here we have the laughter of joy. We even get Ishmael laughing at Isaac when he's born, and that annoys Sarah. So there's all kinds of ways that we can laugh, but his name was Laughter. And there they are with the child, and Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. Let's pray, shall we? Let's stand. Good to stand, isn't it? What can we learn from this story? I'm just going to read these things out to us. And I want you to just think as we pray, which one of these applies to me? Why? What do we learn from this story? Number one, God sometimes keeps us waiting. Are there some of us here this morning that have been waiting for a long time for something to happen? Maybe a job, a relationship, something big. God sometimes keeps us waiting. Number two, God makes things seem impossible. Are there some things in our lives today that seem impossible? Number three, why does God let us go through these things? This way he gets the glory. Number four, we change in the process. God is wanting to change us this morning. He's wanting us to be more patient. He's wanting to teach us to pray. He's wanting us to depend on him more. He's wanting to make us humble, to show us that we can't do this ourselves. And at the end of this, they were incredibly grateful. They were incredibly thankful to God. They'd waited so long. And sometimes God keeps us waiting. So when we eventually get it, we are so grateful to God. Finally, he wants to show us that he keeps his promises. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this journey of Abraham, Lord. And we just pray that you would do in our hearts the thing that you want to do. If we're unbelieving, we put up our hand and we say, Lord, I don't believe like I should. Help me in my unbelief. Maybe we're not grateful for the things that we have. She must have looked at all those other people who had children and thought, I wished I was one of them. And then she got one. Father, we thank you for the things that you have given us. And finally, we thank you, Lord, that you keep your promises, Lord, that you are utterly reliable and you are so powerful and so mighty. Amen. We're going to sing How Great Is Our God.
We're going to finish this morning with this wonderful song. We've got the flags, and we thought it'd be wonderful if the teenagers, Marissa, I don't know if you could help give them out, the teenagers and the children might lift up a flag. I'd just like us to think about the impossible situation. There's a situation I'm facing which seems impossible. Yeah, not those ones, the ones that we've laid out. We've got these really nice new ones. We've got these fantastic new flags. And it would be great to wave these flags in the face of the things we're facing that are huge challenges, and really sing this song of God's greatness. How great is our God? Brilliant.
Father, we want to give you thanks. How great is our God. How great is our God. As we sing this song, let's magnify his name. That means that we make him bigger in our minds than we think of him at the moment. He's a great and a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give Jesus a big clap offering, shall we? Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Mighty, 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 mighty God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It would be lovely if you felt there was some big challenge you're facing, and most of us are facing challenges, sometimes impossible, very often in our lives, aren't we? Just find somebody, maybe the person sitting next to you, or just somebody, you know, find somebody and just pray with them if you'd like. In a few minutes, about 5 minutes, we're going to have some lunch. I see the children are already queuing up. Hold back, kids. We're not ready to go yet. It would be helpful if some strong people, there are some white tables behind through that little hole there, and we just need to put out a few tables so we can have our lunch. But before we do, yeah, of course, yeah. So I was going to ask you to give thanks anyway, Dan. Maybe you say you're a Blaze thing and then give thanks.
So after this, well, in a sec, Blaze, if we could just congregate at the back, just maybe in the corner there at the back of the stage. So if everyone could stand, and I'm going to bless the food. Thank you, Father, for such an amazing time today, with all the input that the youth have put into the service, Lord. It's all to you, it's all to your glory, Lord. We bless you for this food, this time of fellowship, Lord. We thank you for the spiritual food that we received today, Lord. Lord, could we continue in the same spirit for the rest of the day? Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Just one thing. I don't know if Joe mentioned that John March is coming, but he's not coming next week. He's going to come the week after. The person that he had asked to cover for him couldn't come, so he asked if he could swap the weeks, which means we are blessed with Regina a week early. Thank you, Regina. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi. So welcome to our all-age service. My name's Daniel, in case you don't know me, and this guy, special guy, is Maurizio.
Hello, church. Nice to see you.
Good. Maurizio's just going to kick us off with some prayer, and we just dedicate the service to God. And then we're going to have a reading from a Blaze. So if I could get a Blaze up here, all of you as well. You might as well come up now, actually. Come up now, all a Blaze. Teens, come up now. Good. Okay.
Amen. While the teens come up, I want you guys to just close your eyes and just follow me in prayer. We're going to dedicate this day to the Lord. Amen. Okay. God, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this massive opportunity, O Lord. We've got a day that is dedicated to you. Since the beginning of time, you decided that we prepare one day that is dedicated completely to you. We ask, O Lord, that you bring every single person in this church, every friend, every person that we've invited, that they be able to come and be here today to share in this worship, in this dedication of gratitude, of love towards everything that you represent and everything that you have done in our lives. I want you to bless the teens of this church. I want you to bless all the youth for the church, all the children, all the kids, all the babies, and especially the teens that are up here with us right now, that you bless their lives, that everything that they do it because they love you. I want you to guide all the worship leaders, all the worship team, Nick and Joe, everybody who's involved in the service, that you give us the strength, that you give us the spirit to be able to guide everybody and your church as one into worship to the one and only Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Okay. Right. So we're going to do this slightly different. We're going to have on the screen the psalm for you to respond. So what we're going to do is we're going to split the church into three groups. So this is group one. This is group two. This is group three. We're going to have these four guys in control of group one. The next four in control of group two. So if you could stand here. This is the hard bit. Okay. So this is group three. So this is these are your sheets. Highlighted way. Okay, so these are your leaders here. When your leader on your side reads out your line, the top line, which will go, for example, the Lord restores Jerusalem, group one is going to reply, he brings the exiles home. Yeah, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. Okay, so I'll do the top bit. Everyone, can we stand up, please? Can we stand up? Good. Feel free to raise your hand, raise a fist, have your hands like this, you know, go for it. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing out to God.
The Lord restores Jerusalem.
He brings the exiles home.
He heals all those with broken hearts.
He bandages their wounds.
He counts the number of the stars.
He calls them.
How great and mighty is the Lord. He raises up the humble ones.
Sing hymns of triumph to his name.
He spreads the clouds across the sky.
He showers the earth with rain.
He sends the animals their food.
He feeds the hungry birds.
His true delight is not the strong.
But those who trust his love.
I saw the Lord, Jerusalem.
Let Zion worship God.
For God shall keep your people safe.
He gives commandment to the earth.
He spreads like wool the falling snow.
Cold across the air.
He sends the wind, the warming rain.
His law he gives to Israel.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Sit down. Okay, we're just going to go into a song now led by Johnny. You alone can save. Or you alone can rescue.
Wonderful. Wow. Wow, I love it. There's an awful lot of sweets up here. I'm just going to very quickly do the notices, and then I think the sunbeams are going out. So special welcome, warm welcome. Well, no, welcome to everybody, but welcome especially to the visitors. Do fill in a little contact card if you want and put it at the back if you'd like us to stay in touch. We're going to have lunch after the service, so please stay. If you're new and you've come for the first time, do stay. We've got some wonderful food. Just come and have lunch with us. Operation Christmas Child is the final week next week. There's more boxes at the back under the information points. So if you haven't got a box, there's a few boxes left, and there's leaflets there as well. But you need to bring them next Sunday, or they won't be shipped. They'll be for Christmas 2020, and we need them to be for 2019. So you need to bring them next week, and then they're all going to go off to where they're going to be sent out. Next week, John March, the vicar from St. Luke's, isn't able to come, but we have Regina speaking instead. So there you go. And on that note of Regina, lots of the ladies went yesterday because Sherry is getting married in a few weeks. Would Sherry like to quickly come up? Hey! Now, what this picture doesn't tell you is what happened yesterday afternoon. We had to make Sherry's wedding dress, okay? So we made that. My bit was, where was my bit? I can't see it very well. We made the top somewhere, and they made amazing shoes and flowers and a veil. It was nearly all from paper. Okay, so this was us yesterday, but there was a wonderful cake. Where's Sherry? Where is she? Could please come up. This is Sherry, the bride-to-be, the bride-to-be. And so Regina did this wonderful tea party, and Sarah's brought out this cake because Elaine made this wonderful cake. So I think we're going to share it at lunch. It's sort of wedding cake. It's a pre-wedding cake, okay? Because the wedding's happening in the Philippines, so most of us can't go. So we're going to share a little bit of the wedding today at lunchtime. Fantastic. Brilliant. And then on Tuesday, the 12th of November, there's a deeper waters meeting, a search for more of God, and particularly for answers to prayer. And Cliff Nelson is coming to speak this time. It's a Tuesday, a week on Tuesday, Highgate Road Chapel. We've had a wonderful two of these meetings. This is the third one. We've had two wonderful times together, and this is going to be the next one. If you've got something you really want to pray about, I went to the meeting a month ago with something I desperately wanted to pray about, and Mary prayed with me, and there's been various developments in the thing we prayed about since that time. It was a fantastic time. So do come along to that. I think the sunbeams are going to go out for a little bit. Flame and everyone else are staying in. And then I think a blaze are going to come up. And then Nick's just going to share a thought with us. Brilliant. Okay.